Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Essays on the Great Depression is a collection of economic essays by Ben S. Bernanke, the Nobel Prize-winning economist and former chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve. The book is not a narrative history of the 1930s in a general sense. It is a focused analytical study of the Great Depression as the central laboratory for modern macroeconomics. Bernanke uses comparative evidence from the United States and many other countries to explain why the Depression became so deep and persistent, with special attention to banking crises, deflation, debt defaults, and the role of monetary and institutional responses. The purpose of the book is twofold: to clarify the mechanisms that turned a severe downturn into a global catastrophe, and to extract policy lessons for how financial systems and central banks can limit collapse. Its importance comes from the fact that Bernanke did not only study these problems from afar, he later applied related ideas as Fed chair during the global financial crisis. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why banking panics turned recession into systemic collapse. A central argument in the book is that the Great Depression cannot be understood only as a stock market crash or a normal cyclical slump. Bernanke emphasizes the role of banking crises and bank runs in breaking the financial system's basic function of channeling savings into productive investment. When banks fail or are forced to contract lending sharply, viable firms lose access to credit, households lose deposits and confidence, and the economy loses a key mechanism for allocating resources. This is one reason the Depression became so severe and long-lasting. The book treats financial intermediation not as a side issue, but as a core transmission channel. That focus helped shift macroeconomic thinking away from purely monetary aggregates or simple output explanations and toward the health of banks, balance sheets, and credit markets. The analysis is especially valuable because it links observed panic behavior to broader macroeconomic damage rather than treating bank failures as isolated events. Secondly, deflation and debt as amplifiers of economic distress. Bernanke also shows how falling prices worsened the depression by increasing the real burden of debt and weakening borrowers across the economy. In a deflationary environment, nominal debts remain fixed while incomes and asset values fall, so households, farmers, firms, and banks can become trapped in a destructive cycle of repayment stress and forced liquidation. This is not simply a matter of lower prices being inconvenient. It changes incentives, reduces spending, and intensifies defaults. The result is a feedback loop in which one sector's weakness spreads to others. The book's importance lies in making deflation visible as a mechanism of crisis amplification, especially when paired with fragile banking institutions. Bernanke does not treat price declines as a standalone evil. Rather, he explains how they interact with leverage, debt contracts, and collapsing confidence. This framework helps readers understand why a policy response focused only on nominal statistics can miss the deeper balance sheet damage occurring in the real economy. Thirdly, cross-country comparison as a way to explain depression severity instead of relying only on the U.S. experience. Bernanke compares many countries to identify why some economies suffered more than others. This comparative method is one of the book's defining features. By looking across national banking systems, central bank actions, and institutional arrangements, he uses the Depression as a natural experiment in economic policy and structure. The point is not to rank countries for its own sake, but to see how different responses shaped outcomes. Where banking systems were more fragile or policy was more constrained, declines were often deeper and recoveries weaker. This approach makes the book stronger than a purely national history because it shows that the Depression was not a single uniform event. It was a cluster of related crises shaped by policy choices and institutional design. For readers, the value of this method is that it turns historical variation into analytical evidence about what factors matter most in a macroeconomic breakdown. Fourthly, what central banks can do when the financial system is under stress. The book is closely associated with Bernanke's belief that central banks must respond forcefully to prevent a collapse from becoming a depression. Across the essays, the implicit lesson is that monetary authorities should not stand aside while banking failures, deflation, and contracting credit destroy economic activity. Bernanke's later reputation during the global financial crisis gives this lesson additional weight because his policy behavior reflected the historical conclusions developed in these essays. The book, therefore, functions as both scholarship and policy guidance. It argues that crisis management requires liquidity provision, stabilization of expectations, and attention to the functioning of credit markets, not just interest rate signals in the abstract. At the same time, the book does not present central banking as omnipotent. Its deeper point is that the effectiveness of policy depends on understanding how financial panic transmits through the economy. This makes the book especially relevant to readers interested in the practical limits and responsibilities of modern central banks. Lastly, the Great Depression as a permanent test case for macroeconomic theory. Bernanke repeatedly treats the Great Depression as the most important historical test for macroeconomic explanation. That is why the book is often described as dealing with the holy grail of macroeconomics. The Depression matters not only because it was severe, but because it exposed weaknesses in existing theories about money, banks, prices, and recovery. Bernanke uses the era to ask broader questions about how capitalist economies fail and how institutions influence performance. This makes the book intellectually important even for readers who are not specialists in economic history. It connects historical evidence to larger debates about market stability, policy design, and the relationship between institutions and outcomes. The essays also stand out because they combine careful empirical reasoning with a clear sense of relevance to present-day crises. In that sense, the book is not a retrospective academic archive. It is a durable framework for thinking about how modern economies can be destabilized and how those disruptions can be contained. In conclusion, Essays on the Great Depression is best suited for economists, policymakers, students of financial history, and readers who want a serious explanation of why large-scale economic breakdowns happen. It will also appeal to anyone trying to understand the intellectual foundations of modern crisis management, especially the role of banks, deflation, and central banking. The practical benefit of the book is that it trains readers to see financial crises as systems problems rather than isolated shocks. The intellectual benefit is even broader. It shows how historical comparison can sharpen macroeconomic theory and policy judgment. What distinguishes this book from many other works on the Depression is Bernanke's combination of archival seriousness, cross-country analysis, and policy relevance. He is not simply recounting events or offering a popular narrative. He is using the Depression as a rigorous framework for understanding how financial fragility turns into economic collapse and what authorities can do about it. That combination makes the book especially durable and unusually influential within its category. If you would like to support Ben S. Bernanke, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.